advantage of it? Is it really a shortage in that?
It has been 6 years. But no.
I think you've been pretty 4 to 6. I don't know which one it is.
I will call this meeting of the House Committee on Veteran Services and Emergency Preparedness for Thursday, February 12th, to order.
We broke you down twice.
Was I supposed to hit it just once?
You can hit it as many times as you want.
Pardon, Mr. Chair?
You can crack walnuts with it.
I was harassing the commissioner. We've drug her down here twice.
Oh,
one yesterday and today.
Today. <so. laughs> We'll have to apologize for that. But. So no committee bills for introduction today. Again, and I'll just remind members, the 24th of February is our last chance to do that. Okay, so at this point, I'll open the public hearing on House Bill 2230. Could you provide us the overview, please, Brian?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. House Bill 2230 requires Oregon Health Authority to notify the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs upon receipt of self-identified information from veteran or active service members. Restricts notification to name and address, declares an emergency effective 1 July 2015, becomes operative 1 January 2016.
Very good, thank you. And so we have three people. Representative Nathanson, I believe, would like to speak with that. Would the commissioner like to come up at the same time? Or? For the record, just state your name, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
And members of the committee, I'm Nancy Nathanson, representative from House District 13. Oregon has over 322,000 veterans, and many of these 322,000 do qualify for federal benefits. However, only about 3 out of 10 are receiving, have accessed and received or claimed their benefits. Taking steps to increase these veterans' access and using their benefits is good for the veterans. It's also good for the state. In 2013, $2.2 billion in federal money came into Oregon. Half of that amount, about $1.1 billion, was in checks written directly to veterans for compensation and pension payments. In 2013, $92 million was received every month by more than 61,000 veterans. In Lane County alone, where I live, almost $10 million comes into the county each month in these cash payments to veterans. That's a significant amount of money to veterans, and it's also circulating in our state's economy. In 2013, the Oregon legislature passed House Bill 2421 that requires the Department of Motor Vehicles Service Division, DMV, let's just say DMV, to provide the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs with the names and addresses of service members who and veterans who applied for license or title transfers. The applicant must affirmatively state that they would like to be contacted by ODVA. Through this process, ODVA has now received over 27,000 veteran names in 2014, and the monthly numbers are increasing by roughly 3,000 a month. This program is part of what they call the No Wrong Door policy for veterans. It doesn't matter how a veteran contacts the state, which agency they contact, or what help they might eventually need. In other words, it doesn't matter which door they knock on or go through. The veteran will be provided with information and be able to make direct contact then with ODVA, or have the option to have ODVA contact them if that's the way they want to start the communication. ODVA has been contacting more than 27,000 from the information DMV provided and sends them the ODVA Veteran Benefits magazine that details all the federal and state benefits and information about how that veteran may contact a county veteran service officer. You call them VSOs for short. Based on the success of that DMV legislation, we are now taking it a step further. That's what I'm proposing to you. House Bill 2230 takes the same approach, the No Wrong Door policy, and requires the Oregon Health Authority to take that simple step of asking individuals who apply for health care and services and benefits whether they have served in the military and whether they would like to be contacted to see if they would like some help. This question, this simple action of asking a question It is not it seems like a no-brainer, if you will. It seems simple, but it's very important to make that first contact. The question would be placed on both electronic and paper forms of the programs that are administered by the Oregon Health Authority. So we're expanding with this proposal the No Wrong Door policy to include OHA. It will help connect veterans who are applying for state medical health care and benefits. They will then find out about federal benefits they have earned as a service member, and it will direct them to the county veteran service officer who can file a federal claim on their behalf. With this bill in place, more veterans will be able to access and use federal benefits. Ultimately, it brings more federal resources to bear in Oregon, substituting for state dollars. This is that second or third way in which it would be helpful to the state. It will help make the most of the limited state dollars for safety net services. Many people are using local resources instead of federal resources that are available. Healthcare, senior and disabled services, housing, even employment and housing assistance. As we increase the federal dollars coming to Oregon veterans, more money goes directly to the veteran and it recirculates in the Oregon economy. Right now, an awful lot of federal dollars are left unclaimed. If better outreach efforts were made, we would increase compensation and benefit. If we did that, let's say if it increased only by 2%, it would increase the federal dollars coming to Oregon veterans by $22 million in just 1 year. That's a lot of money to help Oregon veterans and to help stretch our own state services. This bill will directly help veterans who have faithfully served our country. It will help connect them with the resources and benefits they have earned. So I hope that you will look favorably on this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Representative Nathanson?
Yeah, because I don't know if you need to sneak out or not. And I don't want to complicate this at all because I'm very supportive. But I had a meeting with a constituent yesterday, and in the conversation, she mentioned that, and I had worked with her and her husband over the last few years trying to connect them with programs to keep from losing their property because of the economy, et cetera, and so on. And in the conversation, it came out, I had no idea at the time that he was a disabled veteran, had never gone after benefits. Had he done that earlier, they may not have lost their property. So, and I don't think the bill that we had passed that you addressed dealt with it, but if you'd want to consider expanding that to Oregon Housing so that they asked also so that we could maybe stem the tide of foreclosures in Oregon, that maybe this could help. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I'd also be very supportive of that, too.
Mr. Chair and committee, especially Representative Huffman, I have spoken with Housing and Community Services in the past. You may recall that in previous sessions we've worked on plans to spend some federal money that would be coming, not federal government, but some national money that was going to be coming available to help with mortgage assistance and not direct assistance, but foreclosure avoidance assistance. I should be more careful with my language there. To avoid foreclosure, counseling, mediation, negotiation, and so forth. I have had some conversations with the department about how they were or were not connecting with veterans and with the department, and connections have increased. I think it's a great idea. I sometimes like to limit my proposals for the best chance of success. Let's take this next step and build success on success. But I think it's a great idea if the committee is interested and might want to have an amendment prepared. I'm not sure what the implications for the department would be, though.
Go ahead, Representative Huffman.
And I'd be happy to help investigate or whatever. And be interested to hear other thoughts if everybody would be supportive of that. Again, like I say, I wanted to throw it out because I don't want to risk messing up the base bill or anything like that. I wouldn't want to do it. But for me, it wouldn't mess it up. I'd support the complete concept.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Nathanson, when you first started, you listed 322,000 veterans, and then you said only so many take advantage of their benefits, and I missed that number.
It's about 3 out of 10, Mr. Chair.
Okay, yeah. So thank you.
Are there questions for Representative Nathanson?
Good bill, Nathanson.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing the bill to us.
Thank you.
So, Commissioner McKeel.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Chair Lively and members of the committee, my name is Diane McKeel. As a Multnomah County Commissioner and Chair of the Veterans Committee of the Association of Oregon Counties, I'm testifying today in strong support of House Bill 2230. I would like to thank Representative Nathanson for her ongoing leadership on veterans issues and for drafting House Bill 2230 for your consideration. And I think you have my written testimony, so I will just highlight a few points out of that testimony. A core focus for the AOC Veteran Committee's work is assisting Oregon veterans to access benefits they are eligible for and earned through their service. House Bill 2230 would help Oregon's veterans and their families access important VA benefits that they have earned. And by connecting veterans to this statewide network of county veteran service officers, or CVSOs. There are nearly 60 CVSOs across Oregon who are the critical frontline staff that assist individuals and their families to successfully navigate and overcome a claims process that is very complex and sometimes too often burdensome. With their support, veterans and their families can access services such as disability, housing, education, health care, and other benefits. House Bill 2230 will facilitate information sharing between OHA and ODVA to give our veterans service officers a valuable outreach tool. This legislation is crafted so that the veterans' contact information is only collected and shared with ODVA if the veteran opts in and wishes to receive information on benefits. This outreach is critical and complements other efforts underway in counties throughout the state. Many veterans don't self-identify, are resistant to accept support when they need it, or don't even know what sorts of assistance they may be eligible for. According to 2013 data from the VA, and I think you just heard this, only about 30% of our state's veterans population access health care from the VA in the previous year. Health care is just one of the benefits our CVSOs can help with, and it is critical that we do everything we can to connect with veterans and get this information and advocacy out into our communities. House Bill 2230 is an important step forward in this effort. Improved outreach to connect our veterans with their earned benefits is a priority for my constituents, as well as my committee co-chair in Wasco County, our vice chair in Lane County, and other committee members from urban and rural areas around the state. This bill is supported by the AOC Veterans Committee, and thank you again for the opportunity to be here this afternoon. Thank you.
Certainly. Any representative?
Thank you, Chair Lively. Commissioner McKeel,
yes.
Can you think of any reason that you or the AOC committee would change their mind and not support if we considered an amendment to add Oregon Housing as another entity that would report?
No,
be part of the open door?
I think we would be fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Commissioner McKeel? Okay. Thank you for taking the time to present. And I would, at this point, I would just ask the committee, does anybody in this committee feel strongly not to proceed with what Representative Huffman, so he can work with Representative Nathanson potentially on an amendment? Does that seem like everybody's fine with that? Okay, yeah, so
we get to vote on this.
Nathanson?
Mr. Guinea, will you work with me?
Oh, now you see how the butt around this one.
Thank you, goodness.
Brian. Mr. So, Chair, I will look forward to working with Representative Huffman, and I also want to express my appreciation to all the help that I've received from ODVA, from my local county veteran service officer, and also Andy Smith from AOC. They've been very helpful as I navigated the issue and tried to develop a good bill.
Thank you both
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Thanks. You bet.
So, Laurie Skillman and Molly. Okay, just make sure. Molly's recognized.
Yes.
Molly's been awful quiet, though.
Yeah, Molly has been awful quiet.
I have to bring that other dog in. That's what we're through before. Yeah.
She's a good little girl.
Good afternoon, Chair Lively, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Laurie Skillman. I'm the Senior Policy Advisor for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and the department has worked with Representative Nathanson on this bill. We're very supportive of this bill. We already have in place the program with the Department of Motor Vehicles, as she said, and we are, as we approach this bill, we would like to do something a little bit more expansive, a little more contact with the veterans from OHA is kind of a pilot to see how that works. What we do now currently is, because we only get names and addresses, we don't get email addresses, that makes our contact and our outreach to them a mailing process. And so I'm sure everyone's seen the Veterans Benefits magazine. If you don't, I have about 10 copies and be happy to give you one. This contains all of the information about the county veteran service officers, how to contact them, what they might do for you, all of the state benefits that are available for veterans, and all the federal benefits that are available. It's a real comprehensive magazine that Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs produces and publishes. And we are updating it right as we speak. So there'll be a new one out pretty soon. So we provide that. And what we want to do with this program with Oregon Health Authority is to do a second outreach to them following sending out the magazine by about maybe 4 to 6 weeks. So they still remember that they got the magazine, and then make another contact and set up a special email address where they can contact the agency and where we can make contact with them or call us or something. So we're grateful that Representative Nathanson championed this concept and this bill, and I'd be happy to answer any kinds of questions the committee may have. May I say one other thing? We're working right now with the Oregon Health Authority on the mechanics of how this is done, because they have electronic systems and paper systems, and they have several different divisions that have different kinds of electronic systems. So we're working on how to do this in the most efficient and cost-effective manner for them to provide us that information. The other thing about the information, somebody brought this up and I just wanted to address it, is that just like the Department of Motor Vehicles, names and addresses from the Department of Motor Vehicles are confidential to the Department of Motor Vehicles. So when they provide that information, that confidentiality through an interagency agreement flows to ODVA. Mm-hmm. So all of those names that we get are under that confidential umbrella. So I'm happy to answer the questions.
You. Questions at this point? So I have a question about the magazine.
Yes.
So you mail that?
Yes.
And since we have 323,000 vets, so how does your list, or how did your list get built of how who that gets mailed to? Does it get mailed to anybody or everybody?
Chair Lively, for purposes of the Department of Motor Vehicles lists of names and addresses, those are the ones that we mail it to. We also mail it to people who ask for it. Okay. We send out stacks and stacks to legislators for their offices, to the county CVSOs have lots of them. They use this all the time because it's so simple to read and so comprehensive.
That's where I had seen it. That's what I thought. So are there any other questions for Ryan? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else wishes to speak at this public hearing? Okay. If not, I'll close the public hearing. And you, Representative Huffman, are charged with moving ahead on the amendment.
I think you should pass it back to Representative Huffman, because I see you slyly gave it to Brian.
I see you did that, huh? Well, I guess that's at the will of the members, huh? Okay, at this point, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2763. Brian, would you just update us, remind us of what this House bill is about?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. House Bill 2763 allows public employers to compensate deployed employees, stipulates the amount shall not exceed the base salary on date of deployment, declares an emergency effective on passage. Meeting dates were this week at 2:10 and today at 2:12. We have the revenue impact statement. There's no revenue impact. And we have the fiscal statement as well. The fiscal impact is out in, because it's by county and by the state can't determine it. So it's at the discretion of the county.
Of the county.
There's no subsequent referral. And the issues that were discussed at the last meeting were the health care and other benefits, despite salary, available to the deployed employees, and then the effects on already established statewide donation of leave programs.
Okay. Representative Boone?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2763 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 2763 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Just really quickly, I will say, the issue I brought up the other day when we heard this bill around whether or not a public employer can create like specifically like a leave pool for this type of scenario. We are looking into that. LC actually thinks that we might be clear on that and wouldn't need an amendment, but I appreciate Rep. Fagan saying she's open to the idea if we need to clear the hurdle of a statute to do that we are able to run that through on the Senate side and get it back in even hopefully better form if need be. So.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Representative Escobar.
Yeah, bill long overdue, I think, and I think that what Representative Parrish brings to that bill will just enhance it and make it better.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion, questions, comments? Okay, seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Vice Chair Escobar?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
And Chair Lively?
Aye. The motion passes. And if Representative Fagan had indicated to me, Representative Parrish, that you would be co-carrying the bill with her?
I can do that.
Okay. So Representative Fagan and Representative Parrish will co-carry the bill. And at this point, committee, we're not going to proceed with a work session on House Bill 2108. We're waiting for some additional clarification and information back on that bill, so we'll schedule it at the point we have that information. So did I close the...
Holy cow,
we're done. Session public hearing?
Wow. What's going on?
Okay. Any other business to come before the committee?
Better enjoy it, because toward the end of the session, you won't see us.
Okay. Yeah, we're adjourned. Okay.